It's 7:43. I'm Teresa Wills. On this West Virginia morning, food pantries across the state cope as the coronavirus turns life upside down.
I think I've got 80 people this morning on a waiting list for when I start back next week.
We'll explore regional food security in the Mountain State. And you'll definitely recognize our Mountain Stage Song of the Week. This is West Virginia Morning. As restrictions on daily activities tighten and confirmed cases of the coronavirus rise, many West Virginia food pantries say more people are coming to rely on their services. Federal food resources are being expanded, but organizations on the ground say they're struggling, not only with increased need, but also with how COVID-19 is changing day-to-day operations. The team at West Virginia Public Broadcasting reached out to food pantries across the state to see how they're faring. Brittany Patterson brings us this report.
At the Five Loaves and Two Fishes Food Bank in McDowell County, supplies are limited and the volunteers are asking people to make appointments to pick up food. Linda McKinney is the co-owner of the food bank, which is entirely volunteer-run. Here she is speaking in a short video released on Wednesday.
I think I've got 80 people this morning on a waiting list for when I start back next week.
She says, in the age of the coronavirus pandemic, Five Loaves and Two Fishes has run out of things like baby formula. They're sending away parents and family members in need. And many of the clients who use the food bank in McDowell County are grandparents, raising their infant grandchildren and need formula.
People were texting me now wanting to know, are you still going to give out food tomorrow if they have a point? I have to wait. I don't know.
West Virginia has some of the highest rates of food insecurity in the country. Joshua Lonis with the West Virginia University Food Justice Lab says before the coronavirus hit, 300,000 Mountaineers relied on food pantries across the state.
So I think we need to remember that before this COVID-19 crisis, we were already in a crisis around food insecurity.
Congress recently approved expanding federal food aid due to the pandemic. West Virginia should receive more than $2 million to help buy and distribute supplies. But Lonis says West Virginia's 550 food pantries vary a lot in terms of their capacity. Some are a few volunteers in a church basement, while others provide daily services. Cynthia Kirkhart directs the Facing Hunger Food Bank in Huntington. It provides food to 220 member pantries around much of southern West Virginia. She says some are shutting down.
The majority of folks who are managing and running pantries, they meet that vulnerable population, you know, description. So some of them have concerns about the volunteers' health and well-being.
Kirkhart says they've seen a 30% jump in emergency food assistance requests. At the same time, where many food pantries get their food has changed as people clear out grocery shelves and restaurants shut their doors. Michael Linger heads up the House of Carpenter in Wheeling. He says they've seen requests for assistance jump by 200%. Many are new faces.
Two things that we haven't seen before. One is a large number of people whose jobs have been put on hold. And so they're waiting to get any kind of, you know, unemployment benefits or anything that will allow them to shop. And the second is people going into the grocery store and finding limited resources.
The state's food pantries are also having to change the way they interact with people to respect new social distancing requests. Craig Hammond at the Bluefield Union Mission says they're taking steps to keep people at least 6 feet apart.
We have, because of the crisis, tried to reduce as best we can the density of people in one place. And we've also tried to limit personal interaction as best we can, although when you serve a lot of people, it's not that easy. But we've been actually getting pretty good at it.
And in Morgantown, the Salvation Army has shifted its daily soup kitchen from dine-in to take-out, says Sheldon Greenland.
Kind of breaks our heart because we've built a really good culture in our cafeteria, but we have to maintain the distance.
Not all food pantries say they're seeing an increase in visitors. In the Eastern Panhandle, some organizations reported it was largely business as usual. During a press conference this week, officials with the West Virginia National Guard said they were forging new partnerships with VOAD and food banks to help struggling food pantries and meet the needs of vulnerable groups like senior citizens. Meanwhile, many organizations are encouraging folks to donate if they can. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Brittany Patterson.
We had help producing that story from Emily Allen, Liz McCormick, Corey Nollinger, and Roxy Todd. We also had help from JJN Multimedia, who produced a short film about Five Loaves and Two Fishes Food Bank in McDowell County. We've posted it online if you're interested. Find it and all the latest coverage on wvpublic.org. In this time of crisis, we're reaching out to community leaders who are working at the front lines to help their towns and regions. Glennis Board spoke with Danny Swan, executive director of the nonprofit Grow Ohio Valley, an organization based in the Northern Panhandle committed to promoting regional food security. Here's part of their conversation.
Our actions are being guided by the World Health Organization's toolkit on food security in pandemics. And that lays it out really clearly. We have three components of food security that we need to be paying attention to. The first is food availability. That's just, is there enough food in our community to feed everybody? And we think yes, there's a resounding yes there. Now, the two more nuanced components of food security are food access. Can everybody get their hands on that food? So can people, let's say homebound, vulnerable populations, homebound people or homeless people, that's a food access problem. In West Virginia, we have a third problem that needs to be looked at, which is food utilization, which is the food of a high enough quality that it's giving your body nutrients? And is your body in a condition that it can appropriately absorb and use those nutrients?
So given the World Health Organization's leadership and whatnot, what has that led you to do differently right now?
Something that we're all noticing as a nonprofit and social service community in Wheeling, and I'm sure in many other communities, is the need for really tight coordination and communication. So we have lots of organizations that are doing great things. Some of them are overlapping in their services. Some have assets that are being underutilized that if other organizations knew about that, they could operate more efficiently. So one thing that we're working on with the help of the great people at the Family Resource Network and Information Helpline is getting all the nonprofit leadership together to coordinate our efforts to make sure that we're addressing the needs of vulnerable populations. What's happening in the homeless camps? How are people eating and staying hygienic? What's happening with homebound elderly, which is a huge issue across the state? How are they getting their food? How is isolation and mental health being addressed for these groups of people? How about kids who are used to getting their meals at school? How are they getting food now? How are especially vulnerable families, exacerbated by lots of people getting laid off from their jobs, how are they getting food? I'm really impressed and inspired by this nonprofit group and how we're stepping up to kind of like fill this leadership role collaboratively, and how the non-medical components of the response to this pandemic are being met by grassroots organizations in our community.
Wow, you're finding that is inspiring you?
Oh, it's totally inspiring. Yeah. It's bringing things into focus. So there are opportunities here to make our community stronger. And, you know, this pandemic, while of course cause number one is making sure that people stay safe and that we get as many people through this healthy as possible, there's this other thing happening wherein there's opportunities to bring the issues affecting vulnerable people. We can address these if we work together sharply and collaboratively with an abundance of communication. Mm-hmm. And it's also bringing some of our own messaging into collect. Okay, so what are the key messages that we need to do to have a healthy population?
Great. And so what are those messages?
We've really identified five key messages. Number one is eat healthy food. This is a better time than ever. It's always important to eat healthy food, eat lots of fruits and vegetables, try to get 5 servings a day of fruits and vegetables. Right now that's brought into clear focus by the pandemic. Eat healthy food, you'll strengthen your immune system. Metabolic and diet-related health conditions can improve rapidly, so do what you can to get healthy food. Number two, Shop small and local if you can, for several reasons. It'll help these small businesses stay afloat in your community, and you'll be shopping in a place that has just a few shoppers in it, as opposed to a supermarket that has hundreds of shoppers or even thousands. Number three, pay attention to your food buying practices. Stockpile for 2 weeks, but don't hoard. You can accomplish a 2-week stockpile probably for less than $100 in one shopping cart at a grocery store. Borrowing your neighbor's pickup truck is not required. So stockpile sensibly and don't hoard, because when you hoard, you're creating resource scarcity that can really affect the vulnerable people in your community when they need to be able to have access to food. Number four, plant a garden. This is a better time than ever. It's always a great idea to plant a garden, but right now it's a way to get outside even and still respect social isolation and distancing recommendations. To be outside, get some exercise, be out in the sun with your family, and most importantly, growing healthy, nutritious food that will be inexpensive coming into your kitchen as you harvest. Again, boosting your overall health profile and your immunity. So get out there and grow a garden if you can. Check out Grow This West Virginia through WVU Extension. They're doing some really great stuff. They'll even mail you seeds to help you start your garden. Number five, get out and volunteer if you can. Lots of social service agencies doing great work in all of our West Virginia communities. They need volunteers. Most West Virginia volunteers are elderly people. Those are people who are unlikely to be able to keep volunteering. So if you're a college kid and you're furloughed, or you're a young adult and you don't have other complicating risk factors, look for places that you can volunteer that will structure the experience in a medically approved, public health safe way, so that you can volunteer and help your neighbors without adding risk to yourself or your neighbors.
That was Danny Swan, the executive director of Grow Ohio Valley, a nonprofit based in Ohio County that focuses on promoting regional food security. He was speaking there with Glennis Board. In full disclosure, West Virginia Public Broadcasting is also engaged in a youth storytelling program together with Grow Ohio Valley and Ohio Valley Public Schools. We'll hopefully be hearing some reporting from these students later this spring. While some presume that John Denver's iconic song, Take Me Home, Country Roads, has been performed on mountain stage many times over the years, it has only made a few scant appearances on the show. For our Song of the Week, here's the highly decorated bluegrass group, Russell Moore and Third Time Out, who closed out their set by honoring an audience request for the classic tune.
Almost heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River. Life is old there, older than the trees, younger than the mountains, growing like a breeze. Country roads, take me home to the place I belong. All my memories gather round her, miner's lady, stranger to blue water. Dark and dusty, painted on the sky, misty taste of moonshine, teardrop in my eye. Country roads, take me home to the place I belong.
That was Russell Moore and Third Time Out covering John Denver's Take Me Home Country Roads live on Mountain Stage. To hear their full performance and more, tune in tonight and Saturday nights at 8 right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our Appalachia Health News Project is made possible with support from CAMC and Marshall Health. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Caitlin Tan, Jessica Lilly, Kara Lofton, Liz McCormick, Dave Mistich, Brittany Patterson, Eric Douglas, Corey Nollinger, Emily Allen, and Roxy Todd. Our news director and producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.